Welcome everybody to the Acts 28 room, and as we continue a series questioning whether justification by faith through grace was in fact the beginning of the revelation of the mystery of Ephesians 3. There are many who feel that it is, because they find in Galatians chapter 1 verse 11 and 12 that Paul proclaims quite clearly that the gospel he preached was not according to man, for he did not receive it from man, nor was he taught it, except by a revelation of Jesus Christ. And this great gospel, certainly in Galatians, includes justification by faith through grace. Now, when these folk turn up at Ephesians chapter 3, they find something else that was given by revelation. In Ephesians chapter 3 verse 1, we notice that the Apostle Paul says, "For this cause I, Paul, am the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you nations. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given to me to you, ward," verse 2 of Ephesians 3, "that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery." Now, it is apparent to those who hold the view that Paul had a progressive revelation and that the book of Acts is a transition period, that certainly Paul in Romans chapter 3, in the great passage about where Paul leads into justification by faith through grace, they recognize that in verse 21 the Apostle Paul says this, "But now a righteousness of God has been revealed apart from the law, being witnessed by the law and the prophets," verse 22, "even the righteousness of God through faith of Jesus Christ toward all and upon all those who believe, for there is no difference." And they believe that, well, here is a part of Paul's gospel, and it was given by revelation, and consequently it was witnessed by the law of the prophets. And when we come back to Ephesians, we notice clearly that the mystery given to the Apostle Paul wasn't anything that was witnessed by the law and the prophets, because it says in verse 8 of Ephesians 3, "This grace is given to me, who am less than the least of all saints, to preach the gospel of the unsearchable riches of Christ among the nations." Verse 9, "And to bring to light what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from eternity has been hidden in God." Well, obviously, Paul had a progressive revelation, it appears to these folk, because he started with something that was witnessed by the law and the prophets in his gospel that was given by a revelation, and it culminates, they believe, in the mystery, the dispensation of the grace of God in Ephesians chapter 3, where something was in fact unsearchable and hidden in God, away from ages and generations. It is our contention that such a view is based upon a failure to rightly divide and to test things that are different, to distinguish things that differ. For in fact, Paul's gospel of the Galatians was indeed given to him by revelation, but in no way does it say that it was hidden in God. As we have been finding in this series, the Apostle Paul claims quite clearly in Acts chapter 26 that he was saying no other things than those which Moses and the prophets said was going to happen. And we have demonstrated, and we will do again tonight by a little revision, we have demonstrated that the Apostle Paul was, in fact, proclaiming the Old Testament scriptures all the way from his conversion to the close of the book of Acts. Now, last lesson, we ended up in Habakkuk in Psalm 18, and we got really involved in some of the Old Testament scriptures, and we want to get back there tonight, but I would like, very quickly, to go to Galatians chapter 3, because, as we know, in Galatians 1, the gospel was given to Paul by a revelation, and here is this great gospel of justification by faith through grace, the wonderful reckoning of God. Here is Paul's gospel. He's defending it so vigorously, isn't he, in the book of Galatians. And this is what he says. In verse 5, he says, "He supplying the Spirit to you and working powerful works in you, is it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" Verse 6, "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness." And that's a reference to Genesis 15. I think I said last week, did I not, that in the first 16 verses of Galatians, there are 7 references to the Old Testament. That in itself would be enough evidence for anyone who compares scriptures with scripture to appreciate that Paul's gospel given by revelation in chapter 1 wasn't anything hidden in God, if a man is quoting in this great central section here 7 Old Testament references. So we have this wonderful fact that the gifts, the supernatural gifts, which of course were the promise of the Father, as we remember in Luke 24 and Acts chapter 1, supernatural gifts were associated with an earthly purpose of God, correct? Way back in Exodus 28 and 31, supernatural gifts were given to Israel around the time of Pentecost in Israel's typical salvation. Supernatural gifts were found in the law and the prophets. In verse 7 of Galatians chapter 3, those of faith, and there's no exclusion here of a Jew or a Gentile believer. This is not a case of the Jews being sons of Abraham in verse 7, or the Gentiles being sons of Abraham, because some of these Mid-Acts brethren, they decide to start dividing Paul's Acts period gospels and epistles and say, well, some of it's about the body and some of it's not about the body. Some of it's about the kingdom. And Paul had a dual ministry. Well, we've been discovering from the very letters of Paul during the Acts period that is totally untenable in the light of Scripture. How can we divide 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4, for example, from the very resurrection of Isaiah 25 and Hosea 13 at the end of 1 Corinthians 15? That is wrongly dividing the word of truth. What we're showing in this series is that justification by faith through grace is in fact as much a part of the earthly program as it is of the above heavenly program. And we are truly beginning to establish that justification by faith can be found in the earthly purposes all the way from Genesis right through to the minor prophets. So those of faith in Galatia are sons of Abraham. And here we have in Galatians 3, verse 8, justification by faith, as found in Genesis chapter 12. We remember that this very verse was quoted by Peter in Acts chapter 3, when he said, "Unto you first," which of course is precisely found in Paul's gospel by revelation, is it not, in the Acts period when it was Jew first. This is not Ephesians chapter 2, where any advantage has been obliterated in the creation of the one new man. So there's another quote from Genesis, and this is justification by faith through grace to the Gentiles, as found in that great call of Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, where God promised that he would become a great and mighty nation, which is not the church, which is his body in heavenly places. So I don't suggest that we have a progression from Genesis chapter 12 to the epistle of the Ephesians and Colossians, where we have a transition from the earth to the heavenly places. It gets a bit ludicrous, doesn't it, when we fail to rightly divide Paul, for indeed he wrote Scripture, and all Scripture, all words of truth in the Word of God must be rightly divided. In verse 9, those of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Abraham is not mentioned in the post-Acts letters of Paul, and we certainly are not blessed with Abraham. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, are we not? And then we come to the great quote of Habakkuk by the Apostle Paul in Galatians 3:11. Just a little bit of revision, as you know, before we get underway into the main body of the lesson. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. We'll refer back to that. Now you know that is quoted in Romans chapter 1 verse 17. It's also quoted in Hebrews chapter 10, of course. And Romans chapter 1 verse 17, Habakkuk, we'll go back to that in just a moment as we continue our examinations of that latter Acts period letter, Romans, written by Paul. So there's Habakkuk, the just shall live by faith in Galatians 3:11. And of course Galatians 3:12, But the law is not of faith. The man that does these things shall live in them is in fact out of Leviticus. And this is also quoted in the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 10, verse 5. Galatians 3:12 is Leviticus 18:5, quoted in Romans 10:5. Now, we're going to come back to Romans chapter 10, because I'm sure you all know that while I have referred to Genesis 12 as being used by Peter in Acts chapter 3, you are aware that Peter also referred to the prophet Joel in Acts chapter 2, verse 28, in Acts chapter 2, and Paul quotes Joel, does he not, in Romans 10:13. Can you see all these connections in Peter and Paul concerning the prophets? And Paul certainly in his gospel is bringing out justification by faith in the law and the prophets. But the law and the prophets don't speak about a heavenly purpose of God, do they? Justification by faith, as brought out by Paul in the Acts period, is as much an integral part of an earthly purpose of God as it is in a heavenly purpose. And justification by faith through grace of itself does not signal any change in dispensation. In fact, in Paul in the Acts period, it is confirming that God has not changed his purposes, as Paul writes in Romans chapter 10. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance, without change of mind. So we have Genesis chapter 12. We have Leviticus chapter 18 verse 5, we have the man who does these things shall live in them in verse 12 right there. But in verse 18 of Galatians 3, and wouldn't it be wonderful if all our Mid-Acts brethren would actually embrace this verse for what it is. Here is Paul's gospel given by revelation, in which he clearly speaks of justification, that is, being made righteous by faith through grace. And here he is saying quite clearly, in verse 18, about the inheritance that doesn't belong to some of the Galatians and not some of the Galatians. Here is the inheritance which is prior to the law. It is the inheritance that was given to Abraham by way of promise. Oh my goodness. Promised in Genesis chapter 15, reaffirmed in the inner portion in Genesis 17, and all of these in a context of justification by faith through grace. As much a part of the earthly purpose as the above heavenly purpose. Now then, there is the inheritance by promise. And you know, isn't it a wonderful thing at the bottom of the chapter that everyone wants to refer to Galatians 3:28 and totally ignore verse 18, which we've just posted. Oh, in Christ, there cannot be Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's no male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Well, there you are. That must be the church which is his body, do you think? Absolutely not. Verse 29, and if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise that was found in Genesis 15. The believing Jews and Gentiles were made righteous by faith through grace, and they were Abraham's seed and heirs according to the earthly promise. And if you'd like to read Galatians chapter 4, of course, you'll find an adoption in there. And you'll find that the believing Jews and Gentile were like Isaac, children of promise. Isn't it a wonderful thing? Righteousness by faith through grace is found in Abraham. But you know what? It goes back before that, doesn't it? You know, let's go back to Hebrews. And before we nick over to Romans, I always get sidetracked, but that's okay. Hebrews chapter 11, we find that Noah, having been warned of God, here he is, Noah, warned of God of things not yet seen. Faith is the evidence of things not seen, of course, in verse 1. Moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. On the earth in Noah, justification or righteousness by faith. Isn't that a wonderful thing? In Hebrews 7, we have, a king to whom Abraham and Levi, who was in his loins, Paul's going to go, or whoever wrote Hebrews will be writing about shortly, to him, that is Melchizedek, also gave a tenth of all. He first, by interpretation, king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Melchizedek was a king of righteousness. Oh, it would seem to some folks that righteousness was the only prerogative of those who were going to occupy heavenly places. And of course, in Psalm 110, thou art a priest forever. I better get it right, hadn't I? Psalm 110, verse 4, we have Melchizedek referring to Christ, and in Psalm 110, verse 4, because I couldn't get it right, it says this: Jehovah has sworn and will not repent. You are a priest forever. Here it is, after the order of Melchizedek. Not the Aaronic priesthood is indeed Christ the Saviour and the High Priest King of Israel. And Melchizedek was a king of righteousness. Christ a king of righteousness. A priest king upon his throne. Now how does all this link us to Romans? Well, we're going to go to Romans chapter 4. Because guess who is mentioned in Romans chapter 4 in the matter of a righteousness by the wonderful reckoning of God? Did you know that Abraham, we just mentioned him in Hebrews, was the one who offered a tithe of the spoils to Melchizedek, a king of righteousness? And Abraham, of course, exhibiting the priestly function when, in fact, he took by faith his own son Isaac up onto the mountain and was offering him, was sacrificing him when the voice from heaven spoke, correct? So Abraham associated with the priestly function. And what did Abraham find? Well, if Abraham was justified by work, writes the apostle in chapter 4 verse 2, he who has a boast but not before God, for what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Here we go, Genesis 15, verse 6 again. Wasn't Genesis 14 about Melchizedek? Anyway, I'm sure you'll go back and check that right out. Now, but to him working, verse 4 of Romans 4, the reward is not reckoned according to grace, but according to debt. Oh, I see. Grace. If it's works, then it's not grace. And as Romans 11, I think there's a reference to there. If it's works, it's not grace. If it's grace, it's not works. They are mutually exclusive. Verse 5. But to him not working, but believing on him justifying the ungodly, his faith is counted or reckoned for righteousness. Even as David says. Oh, did you see the connection, everybody? Even as David says. Who was David? Oh, he was a king. Oh, Abraham, priestly function, David, kingly office. Even as David also says of the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness without works. We have Melchizedek, Noah, Abraham, David, the earthly purpose already seen in the law, already seen in type and shadow, already seen in the father of the nation of Israel, already seen in that great king, the man after God's own heart. In these was righteousness reckoned by faith through grace. And we want to claim that justification by faith is the beginning of a change of God's purposes? You know, Isn't it amazing? This is Romans chapter 4. And for those who didn't, who weren't with us in Romans chapter 3, we pointed out quite clearly that a righteousness of God has been revealed apart from the works of the law. This Paul expanded in chapter 4. Being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through the faith of Jesus Christ toward all and upon all those that believe, whether they're Jews or Gentiles. And that doesn't make, does it? The believing Gentiles, the body of Christ, and the believing Jews, part of the kingdom. Now, does it? Because Paul says it's upon them all. And at Romans, we have had no change, have we? I really do want to remind us that in Acts chapter 13, when Paul preached his gospel given by revelation, remember, he said, revision, we'll get back to Habakkuk real shortly, bear with me. He said, of this man's seed God has raised to Israel according to his promise a saviour. Oh, whose seed? Well, David's seed, do you see? And in verse 32 and 33, Paul said, we preach the gospel to you, the promise made to the fathers. Here's the gospel, right? Christ raised to Israel. And he said, this God has fulfilled to us their children, raising up Jesus, as it is written in the second psalm, you are my son, this day I have begotten you, a priest forever, according to the priesthood of Melchizedek. And Psalm 2 verse 6 says, yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. Melchizedek, a king of righteousness, who prefigured Christ, a king of righteousness, sitting on David's throne. The seed of Abraham, the seed of David, in whom righteousness was reckoned by those who believed on him. And you think that that is a change of God's purpose? I don't think so. So let's go back to Romans chapter 1, and we'll notice again, I think by the time we see that Jesus Christ was of the seed of David, I can see we've got Paul speaking about David in Acts 13. He hasn't forgotten about him by the time he wrote Romans many years later, so I don't see any progression, do you? There's no change of God's purpose or dispensation. Here he is. Jesus Christ our Lord, who was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and who was marked out the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness. And the man isn't going to go too far into Romans chapter 1 before he quotes Habakkuk, which I believe he'd previously quoted already in Galatians chapter 3 verse 11, and here it is. Verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. This is the gospel that he got by revelation, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Verse 17, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now then, that's Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4, Galatians 3:11 it's quoted, and Hebrews 10:38. Isn't it interesting that we've been to Hebrews, we've been to Galatians, and here we are back at Romans at the end of the Acts period, in which this great truth of justification reckoned by faith is found in the writings of Paul. Now Habakkuk, we went back last week and we had a look at Habakkuk, and this is we're catching up to where we were. And thank you for your kindness. I love reviewing a lot because it helps me, and I hope it helps you. Habakkuk 2:4, behold, the soul of him is lifted up and is not upright, but the just shall live by his faith. I'd like us also to remember that Habakkuk 1 verse 5 is quoted in Acts 13. Isn't it interesting, Habakkuk? There's Habakkuk in Acts 13, there's Habakkuk in Galatians, here's Habakkuk in Romans, there's Habakkuk in Hebrews, which I also written late in the Acts period, but no change in purpose. For what does Habakkuk 2:14 say? And we know this, but you know what, friends? It's just so vital that we remember these things. And the earth, says the Lord, shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of Jehovah, as the waters cover the sea. The context in Habakkuk of justification by faith is the glory of Jehovah filling the earth as the waters cover the sea. And let me assure you in Habakkuk 2:20 that Jehovah is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. The hope of Romans, the hope of Acts 13, the hope of Acts chapter 2, the hope of Galatians is the Lord having subdued Israel's enemies. And that's why the earth is silent, you see. No one's speaking up when he's sitting in his holy temple, and justification by faith will be the blessed lot of those who have the inheritance given to Abraham by promise. You see all these things, how they tie together when we compare Scripture with Scripture. Now then, my friends, and I thank you for your company in the Acts 28 room tonight, and your company, those of you who are listening to the audio. We read last week Habakkuk 3, and we're going there again. Here is a prayer of Habakkuk. Here is Habakkuk looking forward in confidence that the Lord will subdue his enemies. He just closed chapter 2 with that, although there's no chapters in the original, is there. And Habakkuk is going to go through chapter 3 and reflect upon God's glorious deliverance of the nation of Israel in the past. He's going to have confidence that the Lord will also deliver Israel in the future. Can you hear in Habakkuk a prayer, chapter 3, please read it and hear it, a prayer about confidence in Israel's restoration? Isn't that a wonderful thing? A confidence in Israel's restoration. And that's the setting of justification by faith. Now, I want us to be very, very aware of this. Because you know what? We're going to go back to Acts 13 again somewhere in this lesson. And we're going to see the restoration of Israel and the deliverance of Israel's enemies. We're going to end up in Romans chapter 10 and see justification by faith in the restoration of Israel and the deliverance of Israel's enemies. And how anyone could read Romans chapter 10 and think it's a body truth without having read Deuteronomy chapter 30 and Deuteronomy chapter 32, it's just beyond me, friends. All right, but I'm not racing ahead. Here's a prayer of Habakkuk in chapter 3 concerning the erring ones. And of course, all Israel was certainly being stiff-necked and uncircumcised in ear when Paul was preaching them to them first in the Acts period. Now, wasn't he? Here's verse 3. God comes from Teman and the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covers the heavens and his praise fills the earth. So we're still in an earthly context, aren't we? Now, this, my friends, is out of Deuteronomy 33, verse 2. And Deuteronomy 33, which follows the Song of Moses, this is a blessing upon Israel. Do you see the connections? Romans 1:17 is Habakkuk. Habakkuk is justification by faith witnessed by the prophets. Habakkuk is not about the church which is his body, but the restoration of Israel. Habakkuk looks back to the time when God came from Mount Paran, and his glory covered the heavens, and his praise fills the earth. And that's a reference to Deuteronomy 33, where Moses is blessing the sons of Israel before his death. And he says in verse 2, Jehovah came from Sinai and rose up from Seir to them. He shone forth from Mount Paran. Here it is. I don't know whether I pronounced it correctly. But the simple fact of the matter is, he came with 10,000s of his saints. From his right went a fiery law for them. The Lord at a trumpet in Exodus 19 descended with thousands of angels. And what is Paul looking to in Thessalonians? He's looking to Paul coming with his saints. He's looking to the Lord coming to a mountain. The resurrection of 1 Corinthians 15 is to a mountain, isn't it? Isaiah 25 speaks about the holy mountain for those who wish to compare 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 55 in the quote from Isaiah 28 and Hosea 13. Look at it in Deuteronomy 33. This is the very verse that Habakkuk the prophet refers to in his great prayer for the erring Israelites, that God came and blessed them in the past and delivered them and gave them a law, and he'll do it again in the future. That's the setting of justification by faith in Habakkuk. Do you think Habakkuk is a quote about the church which is his body and an unveiling of a revelation of a mystery that goes back before the foundation of the world?
I don't think so.
And what was Galatians 3 all about? Supernatural gifts, righteousness in the promised land. Do you see all these links? So Habakkuk is speaking of the blessing of Moses upon the nation of Israel when he simply, just in the ink's not dry, when he spoke about justification by faith. I promised I'd go back to Acts 13, and this is familiar to all of us, but I want us to remember Habakkuk 3 and Deuteronomy 33, and here's Acts 13. We've got the restoration and preservation of Israel in Habakkuk, and we have in Acts 13 justification by faith, just as it was in Habakkuk. Here's verse 38 and 39 of Acts 13. Here is forgiveness of sins in Acts 13:38. Audio listeners, please look it up. By be it known to you, men and brothers, that through this one the forgiveness of sins is announced to you. Which one? The one earlier in Acts 13 who was raised to sit on David's throne, remember? The promise made to the fathers was Paul's gospel by revelation. And look at verse 39. And by him all who believe are justified from all things, which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. But it was witnessed in the law of Moses and the prophets, wasn't it? Now, come down. By the way, verse 41 is Habakkuk 1:5, Acts 13:41. But let's come down here to 46. But speaking boldly, Paul and Barnabas said it was necessary for the word of God, do you see, to be spoken to you first, but since indeed you put it far from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, I have set you to be a light of the nations for salvation to the ends of the earth. Oh, Paul's authority to turn to the Gentiles with his gospel of forgiveness of sins and justification is found in Isaiah 49, verse 6. Isn't that an amazing thing, Isaiah 49, verse 6? I tell you what, friends, this is just absolutely an amazing, amazing passage, and I would like us to go and have a look at it. Isaiah 49, verse 6. And it's really a fascinating chapter. I'm going to read some of the verses for you out of chapter 49. But now, it says, verse 5 of Isaiah 49, now says Jehovah who formed me from the womb, I think that might remind us all of Galatians chapter 1, mightn't it? To be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him. Though Israel is not gathered, yet I shall be glorious in the eyes of Jehovah, and my God shall be my strength. And he said, it is but a little thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved ones of Israel. Isn't this wonderful? I will also give you for a light to the nations to be my salvation to the end of the earth. The Gentiles are going to be blessed with Abraham in Galatians. They're going to be blessed in the earth in Isaiah 49 when Israel is restored. Habakkuk looked to the day when God had preserved Israel when he went back to Deuteronomy 33. Deuteronomy 33 looks to God restoring and blessing Israel. And I think we've got this consistent setting of justification by faith through grace. That wonderful reckoning of God in Paul in the Acts period, don't you? How much evidence would we need to see that justification by faith through grace is not in a context of heavenly places in Galatians, in Acts 13, in Romans, in Habakkuk, in Deuteronomy, in Isaiah, in Genesis? But yet, our mid-Acts brethren want to insist on saying it's a springboard to the mystery of Ephesians 3, which has nothing to do with Abraham, nothing to do with prophecy, nothing to do with Melchizedek, nothing to do with King David, nothing to do with the inheritance by promise given to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 and 15. Let's come back to Habakkuk. Aren't these connections wonderful? I mean, you think the Apostle Paul knew about Habakkuk? He certainly did, because he was with Habakkuk. Was he not in three of his letters, well, two of them if he didn't write Hebrews? Now in Habakkuk 3:13, remember Habakkuk 2 is justification by faith. The just shall live by faith. Look at verse 14. You went forth for the salvation of your people. Here's Habakkuk 3 again. Okay? For salvation with your anointed, you struck the head from the house of the wicked to bear the foundation to the neck. Oh, yes. Habakkuk's going to speak about the discomforting of Israel by the wrath of Jehovah. A lot of our brethren think that wrath and tribulation is upon the Gentile world. Oh, no, no. It's upon the nation of Israel. But look at verse 19 of this wonderful prayer. Verse 18. Yet I will rejoice in Jehovah. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The God of Israel, by the way. Do you see that? Verse 19. Jehovah the Lord is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk on the high places. Well, perhaps Habakkuk is referring to the heavenly places. I don't think so. Because Habakkuk, who knows his own scriptures, refers to hinds' feet. And last time we had a look, did we not, at a previous reference to hinds' feet by a certain king. And that king is the very king who was promised a king of righteousness upon his throne. Now we're back with David again. Is this amazing that Habakkuk goes back to Moses, that is the law, Habakkuk goes back to David, and that is the king? An amazing coincidence, is it not? I love you, O Jehovah, my strength, says David. And he spoke these when he was delivered from his enemies. Oh, and Habakkuk's looking to be delivered from his enemies. And Moses is blessing Israel, God delivering them from their enemies. Do you think the hope of Romans, do you think the hope of Habakkuk, do you think the hope of Psalm 2, when the Lord is on his holy hill of Zion, do you think when all the earth is silent before him, that might be when Israel's enemies are delivered? Oh, wait till we get to Romans 15. Yes, Psalm 18, let's come down to verse 43. You have delivered me from the strivings of the people. You have made me the head of the nations. A people who I have not known will serve you. And that reminds me of Hosea, Romans 9, Isaiah 55, which of course Paul quotes in Acts chapter 13. Now look at verse 46. Jehovah lives, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be praised. This is Psalm 18. This is David praising the Jehovah, the God of his salvation. Okay? Now don't lose the fact that Habakkuk has just spoken about hinds' feet. Now will you? It is God who avenges me. Oh, God avenges me. I hope we remember the word avenge when we get to Deuteronomy 32 as quoted in Romans 15 and also quoted in Romans 12. It's God who avenges me and humbles the people under me. He delivers me from my enemies. Yea, you will lift me up above those who rise up against me. You have delivered me from the violent man, verse 49. Therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Jehovah, among the nations, do you see? And sing praises to your name. Magnifying the salvations to his king and working mercy to his anointed, to David and to his seed forevermore. You say, Brian, where is the connection to Habakkuk chapter 3? Well, you know what? I left it out because I wanted us to see the context of Psalm 18. And here is hinds' feet that Habakkuk referred to. Do you think Psalm 18 might be about the church which is his body? It is God, Psalm 18:32, who girds me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like hinds' feet and sets me on my high places. That is the high places of Israel. Do you see? Hinds' feet. Psalm 18. Habakkuk chapter 3. The just shall live by faith. And is everyone in this room aware, and I know you are, that Psalm 18:49 says this: "Therefore I will give thanks to you, O Jehovah, among the nations." Here it is. We've just found hinds feet in Psalm 18 and Habakkuk 3. "Therefore I will give thanks to you, O Jehovah, among the nations, and sing praises to your name." And that is quoted directly in Romans 15, verse 9. You know, friends, we started at Romans chapter 1 with "the just shall live by faith" in Habakkuk. Habakkuk refers to Deuteronomy 33, the blessings of Moses upon Israel. Habakkuk refers to Psalm 18. Psalm 18 refers to God delivering David's enemies. Psalm 18 says that because the seed of David has been delivered, because David has been delivered from his enemies, the Gentiles will rejoice because Jehovah, the God of Israel, has saved that nation, just as Habakkuk reflected upon in chapter 3. Now, in Romans 15:9, "And that the nations might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written," and there's Psalm 18. Now, in case some listener to this audio thinks we're out of context of the hope of Romans, verse 4 of Romans 15 says this: "For whatsoever things were written before were written for our learning, so that we through hope," "we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." The hope of Acts 13 was Christ sitting on David's throne. The hope of Romans 15 is the hope of the Old Testament Scriptures. Remember the promises of the fathers in Galatians chapter 3? Well, let's have a look at Romans 15 verse 8. In this context of hope, you can follow it from verse 4 of Romans 15 all the way to verse 13. "And I say Jesus Christ has become a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the fathers." You know, we rightly dividers are so prone to quote this verse to show the ministry of Christ. This verse doesn't only show the ministry of Christ, it's showing the hope of Romans. That the hope of Romans is the promises made to the fathers confirmed. And one of those promises is found in the blessing of Moses in Deuteronomy 33, the great prayer of Habakkuk in chapter 3, the great hope of deliverance in Psalm 18, which is quoted right here in Romans 15. I hope this is not too complicated to follow. It's pretty simple, isn't it, when we connect the dots and let the Scriptures speak to us? Instead of eisegetically reading into this passage here about no other things than Moses and the prophet said was going to happen, dragging Ephesians' truth and putting it in here doesn't work, does it? Romans 15 hope is the promises made to the fathers confirmed by Christ. So there's no change between the ministry of Christ and the ministry of Paul in Romans, now is there, so far as the dispensational setting is concerned. Oh yes, the subjection of the nations. This is why the Gentile believers are going to rejoice in that day, because God has delivered Israel. Did you know in Romans 15:10, Romans 15:9, I just want to refresh your memory that Romans 15:9 is the quote that immediately follows Christ confirming the promises made to the fathers. Now here we have 15:9, which is the quote out of Psalm 18 verse 49. But look at verse 10 of Romans 15. And he says, and again he says, "Rejoice, O Gentiles," or nations, "with his people." Why are they rejoicing with Israel in Romans 15? They're certainly not rejoicing because they're in the heavenly places, let me tell you, because we've just read Psalm 18 in Romans 15:9. And Psalm 18 is about the God of Israel subduing Israel's enemies. That's why they are rejoicing. That's what Habakkuk is praying about in chapter 3. That's what the blessing of Moses is about in Deuteronomy 33, to which Habakkuk referred in chapter 3 of his prophecy. Now we have Romans 15:10, and again he says, "Rejoice, O nations, with his people." Let me ask you a question. Wouldn't it be a great coincidence, a stroke of luck, if you will, that in Romans 15:10 the Apostle Paul is referring to the Song of Moses, and we've got this huge connection, these great connecting dots between the just shall live by faith in Romans 1:17, Habakkuk, Deuteronomy, Psalm 18, Romans 15, and now we're going to go back in Romans 15 to Deuteronomy again? Yes, we are. Deuteronomy 32. You know, in Deuteronomy 32, because that's what Paul's quoting there in Romans 15, verse 10. In 8 and 9, this is what the Lord said when the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the sons of Israel. Interesting verse. Go check it out. For Jehovah's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. All right. So the inheritance in Galatians chapter 3 is the inheritance given to Abraham by promise. And of course, when the Lord brought Israel into the promised land with Passover, unleavened bread, Pentecost, trumpets, atonement, and booths, that was God taking Israel into their inheritance, which really was his inheritance. And here it is in Deuteronomy 32, verse 9. And remember, Paul has quoted Deuteronomy 32 and Romans chapter 15. So I don't think anyone who compares Scripture with Scripture is going to stand up and say that Romans through Philemon is all about the body, when Romans is quoting Israel as God's inheritance, not the church which is his body in heavenly places. In verse 4 of Romans of Deuteronomy 32, he is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are just, says Moses in his song, and without evil, just and upright is he. And you'll find the rock quoted somewhere in Habakkuk. I forgot to write it down. Oh well, there you go. We'll check it out maybe next week, huh? Deuteronomy 32, let's come down to 16. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods, with abominations they provoked him to anger. Those of you who know the book of Romans and know exactly where I'm going to go here. Verse 21, they moved me to jealousy with a no god. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities. Do you see? And I will move them to jealousy with a no people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. And you have that quoted, do we not? In Romans chapter 10, verse 19. Oh my goodness, Romans chapter 1 is the prophets. Romans chapter 2 and 3 and 4 is Moses and Abraham. Romans chapter 10 is Joel and Moses. There's no change from Acts 13, is there? No progression in anything? Now, is there? Anyone who claims Paul has a progressive revelation, in my opinion, hasn't taken the time to compare the prophetic settings from which Paul finds justification by faith. And I'm running out of time, so I'm going to finish at Deuteronomy 32:43. What did Habakkuk say? He was looking at God's deliverance of Israel. What was Paul's authority? In Acts 13, it was Isaiah 49, the regathering of Jacob, the restoration of Israel. What was Psalm 18, those hinds feet on high places? It was the rock, the deliverer. David's psalm concerning the fact that Israel's enemies have been subdued. Psalm 18 quoted in Romans 15. The Gentiles in Romans 15 rejoicing, not because Paul was telling them about body truth, but because the God of Israel had subdued Israel's enemies on the earth, and as Acts 13 says, Christ in Psalm 2 was raised to sit on David's throne. But here's our final quote for tonight. Deuteronomy 32:43, and I want to read it, friends, and find out how consistent Paul's Old Testament quotes are. Rejoice, O nations, with his people.
Do you see?
This is Romans 15, verse 10. For he will avenge the blood of his servants. Oh, the Gentiles who have been justified by faith through grace in Romans are going to rejoice with Israel. That's exactly what he said in Galatians chapter 3. And they are not rejoicing because they've been raised to heavenly places. They are rejoicing, for God has avenged the blood of his servants. He has rendered vengeance to his foes, which is Psalm 18 and Habakkuk 3. And he's being merciful to his land, not heavenly places, and to his people. That's where the Gentiles are going to have their hope, when the hope of Romans is realized. And that's where justification by faith is set. In the earth, in Paul, in Galatians, in Acts 13, in the book of Hebrews, in the book of Romans. There's no change, no progression, and the book of Acts can't possibly be a transition period when we let the Scriptures teach us from the Scriptures. And may the Lord bless you as you examine these things and search and see. And to God be the glory, and may the Word be honoured, and Christ, the High Priest, King, according to Melchizedek, sitting upon his throne, is the hope of Romans, as we'll continue to see in the next lesson. Thank you, Father, for tonight. We bless and praise you that your purposes will be accomplished. And Father, we thank you that when Israel remained uncircumcised in heart and ears and would not respond, you cut them off, set them aside according to the prophecy of Isaiah in Acts 28. And after that you reveal to Paul a different revelation about the dispensation of the grace of God in which we live today. And to you be the praise and glory that we are understanding it through the Spirit who works among us. Through Christ our Lord, we bless and praise you for all things. Amen.